We come back this morning to our study in the book of 1 Samuel. We are studying that book and the prophet Samuel. We're in a series. 2 weeks ago, we read about Samuel's character and influence, and we found that from a very early age in Samuel's life, God had called him, and Samuel had responded, and Samuel was doing all that he could in order to honor the Lord with his life. Chapter 3, verse 20 says, "And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord." And so very early on, the people around Samuel could see that God was speaking through him. In fact, it says that God didn't let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That means that when Samuel spoke, people knew that God was speaking through him. He was listening to him. And so this morning, we're coming in our study of the book of Samuel to chapter 4. And our study today is a story of the battle between the Israelites and the Philistines, and how it is that Israel got into the trouble it did, and what happened to them, what happened during this time. I want to read part of the story today, and then we're going to look at some other verses in 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read this text this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 12. First, I'm going to read the verse 1 and then verse 12. "And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines." And then verse 12. "That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh, his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching because his heart feared for the ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and asked, 'What is the meaning of this?' The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes were so set that he could not see. He told Eli, 'I have just come from the battle line. I fled it from this very day.' Eli asked, 'What happened, my son?' The man who brought the news replied, 'Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses, and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured.' When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. He had led Israel for 40 years. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for 1 Samuel and the stories that we find in it. We pray today that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to hear what you want to. Help us to be humbled by and listen, Lord, to your Holy Spirit as you speak to us. Help us to seek you with all that we are, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is truly a disastrous time in the life of the Israelite people. This battle was a stunning defeat for them. This battle and its defeat led to 20 years of virtual slavery of the Israelite people to their enemies. What led up to this battle and what took place before the battle happened is an important part of the story. Perhaps you could say it begins with two boys or two sons of Eli. Their names were Hophni and Phinehas. They were the two sons of the high priest. And because they were born into that family, when they became men, they were to become priests as well. And so they were. They followed in the footsteps of their father Eli, who was the high priest. And they became priests in Israel. But unlike their father, the sons Hophni and Phinehas did not honor God. They did not love God. In fact, they did many things that were detestable in the eyes of God. They slept with the prostitutes at the tabernacle. When the people brought their sacrifice, they showed no respect for God. And in many ways, the people cried out because of the wickedness of these two men, Hophni and Phinehas. They were responsible for some very important things, but they, with contempt, treated the things of God. And Eli did not constrain them. The people came and complained, but the disrespect for God and the laws of disrespect for the laws of God continued. And so finally God had had enough, and he sent a prophet, and he made a prophecy, and he said that I am going to bring to an end the house, the line of Eli, and I'm going to punish the family of Eli, and the sons would be dead, and Eli would be dead, and there'd be no future of leadership from the house of Eli. And so the prophet had given the message, the warning, that Eli and his family would be removed from leadership in Israel. And after a time, God brought that to pass in this story in chapter 4. But it wasn't just the sons of Eli who had disregard for the Lord. All of Israel, we're told, had fallen into this pattern, into this coldness spiritually, and into this place where they were not seeking the Spirit of the Lord. They were also worshiping idols and doing things that were detestable to the Lord, and they're named in other places. In chapter 3, verse 2, it says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. In other words, it was during that time the people were not seeking the Lord, and they forgot the Lord, and they were not hearing what God was saying. I don't believe it's because God did not want to speak to them, but the people had become so busy. They had become so occupied with all the things in their lives, and some of them were drawing them directly away from the truth and the law of God. And so nobody heard God speak anymore. It would seem like Samuel was the only one, this young boy that was growing up into a man, and he was close to God, but as far as we know, there's no word of anybody else in Israel who was seeking God like this man Samuel was. And then there's another part of this story. It's the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is an important factor in this story. See, the Ark of the Covenant was very important to the Israelite people. It was very important to their history. It was very important to their identity. The Ark of the Covenant was this box that had been made with instructions of the Lord, and inside this box were these items that were reminders of God's presence and God's power, the rod of Aaron and manna, representing how God had met their needs in the wilderness, and the Ten Commandments, the tables of the Ten Commandments were inside this ark, and it was covered with gold, and it was beautiful, and it, for the Israelite people, represented the very presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was very important to them, to feeling connected to God. And so in this story, in the center of this story, is the Ark of the Covenant, its symbol of power and favor. The Ark of the Covenant represented for the people that God was with them, and God would always take care of them. God would protect them, and God would watch over them, and God would lead them. It represented something very, very special. But over the years, the people had lost their connection to what the Ark of the Covenant really meant. The Ark of the Covenant meant that God wanted to be close to you. God wanted to reveal himself. God wanted a living relationship with you. And over the years, the people had grown cold and stopped listening and seeking God's Spirit, but they still had the Ark. They had the Ark, but they didn't have the passion for God. They had the Ark, but they didn't have this desire to be close to him and to hear from him and to be led by him. And they were going through the motions. If I tried to relate this story today to the church and who we are, I would see in this story the tendency that we might have sometimes to go through the motions of our faith. We believe in God. We may come to church on Sundays, and there may be things in our home, pictures on the wall that identify our home as Christian. And you can have a lot of external things that look Christian in your life, but you still can miss out on the presence of God in your life and the glory of God and the closeness that God wants to have with you. You can look like a Christian. You can sound like a Christian. In all the ways, you can look like a Christ follower, but it's the relationship in your heart to God that keeps you close to God. And the people had lost that, but still they had the Ark. The Ark was still there, but they lost their love for God. The very first commandment was about having no other gods before them. And Israel had fallen into worshiping other gods and such disrespect for God himself. And so they were very dry and they were very empty. And all through Israel, they're going through the motions of being God's people, but really not caring and loving him and not doing their part of the covenant relationship. And it had gotten very dark I mean, it had really gotten to be a very, very painful time in the people's lives. And at the same time, Israel was at war with one of its neighbors, the Philistines. The Philistines were this group of people that were to the west of Israel along the Mediterranean Sea. Today we'd call it the Gaza Strip. And there was war between the Philistines and the Israelites. And this war would kind of wax and wane over the years. And there were times with the Philistines that had taken many of the Israelite cities, and they were threatening them, and at times they would attack them and dismantle their cities and kill their people and take others away in slaves. And for a long time it was the Israelites against the Philistines. And in this day that we read of in 1 Samuel chapter 4, it was that day. Chapter 4 verse 1 tells us, "Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines." Many times the Israelite people went out to fight because they were defending themselves. And so we have in this chapter the story of Shiloh and the area around it. There's really two battles in this story. The first battle takes place, and we're told that the Israelites went out to the Philistines to fight against the Philistines. And so they began to fight, and the Philistines deployed their forces, verse 2 says, to meet Israel as the battle spread. And then the next verse, we're told what happened. Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. Well, just to summarize it, Israel was soundly defeated. They went out against the Philistines, and the Philistines overran them. 4,000 of their soldiers were killed. The people were in shock. How could God let this happen? We belong to God. He's supposed to protect us. And they couldn't believe that the enemy had destroyed them. And then we're told that the elders of Israel came back together, and they were trying to understand how it is that they could be defeated. They say, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines?" You see, they already were blaming God for the defeat. They believed that God would help them to win. And when He didn't, they blamed Him. You know, sometimes when we feel cold and dry, we first blame God for that. God's not speaking to me anymore. Or I don't know where God is. Why hasn't God done this? Or why hasn't God done that? And that's what the elders of the Israelite people did. And so they said, "Let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of the enemies." So the leaders came together and said, "How could God let this happen? He's supposed to be our protector." And then they said, well, it must be because we don't have the Ark of the Covenant with us in battle. That's it. So let's go get the Ark of the Covenant, and we'll carry it into battle, and surely then God will protect us. So they go and they get the Ark, and they kind of carry that out. Ah, we have the presence of God right here. And we're just going to take that box out to the battle, and God will take care of us. And you know what happened? They got to the battle, and it was the second day of the battle. The second day was far worse than the first. They were not only soundly defeated, but they were destroyed, and 30,000 Israelites were killed that day. It went from bad to worse. It went from a few thousand to 30,000. You know what a large number that would have been of the Israelite army? I mean, that army would have been wiped out that day. 30,000 soldiers defeated by the Philistines on the second day. It was such a disaster. You see, they were counting on the Ark bringing them success in the battle. Not only were they soundly defeated, but 30,000 people were killed. They believed that the Ark would save us, that the Ark would assure them of victory. And so on that second day of battle, they found out otherwise. It was a far worse day. They were defeated, 30,000 were killed, and then we read also that the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. And then most significantly, we read the Ark was captured and taken away. That's exactly what Eli was afraid of. Eli was afraid about the ark would be lost. If you look back at verse 13, it says, "When he arrived there, Eli was sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared for the ark of God." Verse 18 gives us a picture of what happened. In verse 18, it says, "When he mentioned the ark of God," again, see that in the story. When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken and he died. Eli knew that the Israelite people had lost the glory of the Lord. But see, the people were a little confused about when it happened. They thought it happened because somebody took the ark and captured the ark. But the loss of the glory of the Lord had taken place a long time ago, when they stopped listening and they were no longer passionately following and responding to the voice of the Lord. Eli knew that the glory of God had left. For him, it was the worst part of the day. It was the worst part of the battle. Just imagine how Eli must have felt. At 98 years old, responsible for the spiritual lives of the people, and they had been destroyed. They had been beaten so badly, and so many soldiers killed. And then his own sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. But it's when Eli realized that the ark had been taken that he loses hope. He falls back and he dies. God had been patient with the people a long time. Chapter 4, verse 22 summarizes the glory of the Lord being departed. It says in chapter 4, verse 20, maybe I'll go back a couple verses before that. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. When she heard the news that the ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, the woman attending her said, "Don't despair, you have given birth to a son." But she did not respond or pay attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because the capture of the ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband. The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of the Lord has been captured." You see, they all thought it was because they lost the ark of the Lord, but the truth was they had lost the glory of the Lord a long time before that. The loss of the ark of the covenant happened because they had already lost the presence of the Lord. Samuel seems to be the only one in Israel who understood that, because Samuel had come before the Lord. Probably many times he'd come and bowed before the Ark of the Covenant and sought God's Spirit and prayed out to God. And Samuel knew why they had lost the battle. It will be 20 years before the Israelite people will hear again the voice of the Lord. 20 years before they will feel the closeness to God again. When I read this story, I think of how sad it is that they didn't realize until it was too late how far they were from the very presence of the Lord. 20 years later, before the glory of the Lord would return. When I read this story, I naturally think the question, is it possible for us in the 21st century to lose the glory of the Lord? Is it possible for us in the church today to lose the glory of the Lord because we're inattentive to God's Spirit, because we're too busy, because we have too many things going on, because we put our faith in the things around us of the Christian faith instead of relationship with God? What God wanted with the Israelite people was a deep, close relationship with Him. He wanted the people to seek Him. He wanted the people to want Him. He wanted the people to desire to hear His voice and to be in fellowship and communion with Him. How does it happen? How can we lose the glory of the Lord? How can we lose the glory of the Lord in our lives? How does it happen? Does it happen suddenly? Does somebody sneak up behind us and you know, somehow just jolt us and we don't sense God's presence anymore? The truth is, little by little. So little by little. Busyness by busyness. Having too many things going on in our lives and not paying attention to the things that are most important, we can lose out on the presence of the Lord. For the Israelite people, they thought it was because they lost the Ark of the Covenant. That was symbolic for them, but the truth was, God wanted to be close to them every day. The truth is, God wants to be close to you and to me every day. God wants us to hear His voice. God wants to walk with us. The very opening chapters of the Bible, you have a picture of God and Adam, and it says that they walked in the cool of the evening of the day. And you know, when sin came, they lost that relationship. They lost the connection. And ever since then, God's been trying to reestablish that with us. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, He sent His Son to die for our sins so that we can know the love of God and respond to Him and enter into that relationship with Him. God is reaching out to you and me today, saying, I want a relationship with you. I want to be close to you. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know that I care about your life. I want to say to every single person that's here this morning, God cares deeply about being connected to your heart, your mind, your spirit. God knows who you are. He knows where you're at. He knows your life journey. And He wants to be connected to you. The Bible says that we will find Him when we seek Him with all our heart. God's not that far away. If you sense today that, boy, I don't know about the glory of the Lord. I don't know about His presence. I want you to know that He's waiting. He's like a loving Father who's reaching out to you. Jesus said it this way. There was a shepherd and there were 100 sheep and one of them was lost. 99 were found, but there was one lost. And what does a shepherd do? He goes out and he seeks. And he seeks until he finds. And then he joyfully brings that lamb back. And the truth is, God the Father is looking for us today. He wants to restore that relationship. He wants us to feel that closeness with Him. Do you want to be close to God today? Do you want to sense Him in your heart and your spirit? God wants to speak to your heart and your life today. Would you stand with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this story. I know that it's in the Bible for a reason. Are many reasons, God, that You want us to be drawn to who You are. You want us, God, to understand Your heart. This story reminds us of how broken we are when God's presence is gone from our lives. And, Lord God, how sad that is. And, Lord, I think for these people on this day, they waited way too long and they took You for granted and they did things that were wrong and never repented from them. And they had a heart of self-sufficiency, and Lord God, all along You wanted a covenant relationship of love and obedience, and You did want to care for them. You wanted to meet their needs. You wanted to guide them. You wanted to protect them, but they walked away from the covenant. They walked away from You, and then disaster came to them. Lord God, help us to come back to You. Help us to have a desire deep within us, Lord God, that we're hungry for You. We want to be close to You. We want to say, God, I don't want to walk on the line. I don't want to be away from You, but I want to be close to the heart of God. Help us to desire that in our hearts, I pray. Help us, God, to know that You're waiting for us to call out to You. And when we call out to You, that You will respond. Thank You, God, that You can cleanse, You can forgive, You can restore. Lord, You can take hearts that are cold and hard and You can give them life again. You can give life to the bones that are dry, the bones that are brittle. Lord God, You can pour Your Spirit back into our hearts and our lives. I pray, God, today that we would desire to have that Holy Spirit come into our hearts, come into our lives. Lord God, help us to seek You with all that we are today, I pray in Jesus' name.